We got a problem with that, don't we? We have a real problem with that sometimes as Christians, right? What do I mean by that? Well, last 3 weeks we've talked about overcoming fear. Talked about fear of failure, overcoming fear of rejection, and last week fear of being vulnerable. Today we're going to talk about fear of hurting others, or as some like to call it, confrontation. See, this is a problem, and this is one of those messages I'm going to share with you that probably hits as close to home personally as anything I've ever shared, because I have never been one who was very bold to confront, and it's still even a struggle at times. But the Lord is teaching, and He's showing. See, overcoming fear. 1 John, our theme verse, and this is the last in the series of overcoming fear messages. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And we talked about the different types of torment with being vulnerable, with failure, and with rejection. Now, the torment that this fear brings about is really as inner destructive as any fear to overcome there is. Because what happens when you need to speak up to something or confront something and you don't, this is something that eats away at you on the inside. See, this is where the line of, you know, anger that you want to speak out and reveal, but turned inward, fits in the classical definition of depression. Because the classical definition is anger turned inward. So when you have something to say, but you don't say it, you know something needs to be dealt with, and you don't deal with it, what happens is you turn it on the inside, and it begins to kind of eat away at you and basically destroy you from the inside out. This is the torment that true love is meant to cast out when it comes to this. This is what we are meant to overcome. So remember, fear itself stems from not knowing an outcome of something. We've talked about that. Don't know what's going to happen. If I say this, how will they react to me? How will they treat me? Will they like me anymore? Because that's one of the biggest obstacles. We all want to be liked. And I remember, and I'll be the first to tell you, that's a struggle for me, wanting to be liked. Because I feel like I just want to be friends with everybody. I want everyone to like me, because that's just the way I was made. But I'm learning. And a pastor friend of mine posted something on Facebook a couple of weeks ago. If you want to be liked, don't go into the ministry. Especially being a pastor. Because you're going to have to confront some things and some people. And if they're not at the place where they can receive it, they're not going to like you. But you still have to do it. So what's the source of this fear? Source comes from two different things, really. They work hand in hand. One is the fear of confrontation. And that has to do with being liked, but it also has to do with my own and our own insecurities. We're insecure, so I don't want to confront, especially if in my mind I believe the other person has a stronger personality or is a better arguer. So we don't stand up and we don't confront. So we're afraid to simply confront. But it goes back to our identity issue, right? Because if I know who I am as a son of God, as a prince and co-heir to the kingdom of heaven with Christ, if I realize I've been given every authority, all authority in Jesus' name to do these things, I should be able to overcome this and confront in that authority. because it's Christ in me. Now, please understand, what we're talking about is confronting things that will bring glory to the kingdom of God and dealing with things that have been glory to the kingdom of God. Not just pushing our own weight around. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about being bossy. We're talking about standing up for what we believe is right biblically in the heart of God, in the eyes of God. And this is not an easy thing to do for a lot of people because, as we'll get into, you need to know the Word of God. You need to know the heart of God. But you also need to know who you are, who your identity is in Christ Jesus, and that Spirit of God lives in you. Second part to it is just a simple fear of causing somebody pain. Some of us are so empathetic that it hurts us just thinking about the other person being hurt. And we're afraid to say certain things because we don't want them to be scarred. This is the stuff we tell ourselves. This is the stuff that goes through our minds. It's an emotional pain because our empathy is at an extreme, too extreme. Because we say to ourselves, if I hurt them, what will they think of me? Because I want to be liked by them. I don't want them to feel bad. I want to be everybody's friend. I don't want them to hate me for saying this. I don't want to cause them more damage. But you know what? The sin is already causing the damage. Confrontation opens the door to the healing. You don't begin to heal till you admit there's an issue to be healed. And anyone here who's been through any addictions recovery stuff knows this is 101 basics. Admit you got a problem. If I don't recognize my sin, I will live in that sin, so I'm already in spiritual pain and suffering. But confronting the wrong opens the door to the healing. It's not easy going to somebody who's a member in your church who's living with a member of the opposite sex out of wedlock. Because I don't want to lose them. I don't want to hurt them. I love them. I've known them for years. But you have to do it because the Word of God is the Word of God. It's about purity. It's not easy confronting somebody about the lifestyle they're living because they're one way at here in church, worshiping, praying, seeking the Lord, but then they're out drinking, partying, even their speech is different outside of here. But yeah, trust me, I see it on Facebook all the time. And it's scary. And these are members within our congregation or people who call themselves Christians. How is the world going to know Jesus if we're not showing them who Jesus is? And part of this is confronting each other. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. This is one of those. See, in order for iron to be sharpened, there needs to be what? Friction. And sometimes those moments of friction is what brings forth the sharpness, the healing, the restoration. So we have to somehow get past it. And, you know, two of our main values is study, knowing and applying the Word of God as a church. We study together in our home groups to know the Word of God because I have no right to say, Jesus said this, if I don't know that Jesus said that. And you hear so many people who have heard Christianese talk will say, you know, God helps those who help themselves. No, he doesn't. That's not in the Bible. That's somebody said to make something somebody said to make themselves feel good. It's that kind of stuff. You need to study to know the Word of God, to know the heart of God. This is why we do what we do. So when we say, hey, want to just talk to you about this and let's look at Scripture together, you know what you're doing. It's right there. It's right there in front of us. And the other thing is family. We're a family. Family talks. Families communicates. Sometimes families need to address things with one another. Why? To make the household, in our case, the house of God, which is really this family unit here, because these walls don't make up the house of God. We do. We are the church. The church of God can grow, can flourish and be fruitful and blossom. So we need to communicate, even on the hard issues. And I love the fact that there are certain people here who have said, hey, Pastor Mike, I just want to talk to you about this. And have just lovingly come to me and shared with me things. And I appreciate that. And I receive that. Why? Because I know as my brother and my sister in the faith, they want me to be better. They only want the best for me in my relationship with God. And if I am better, I can make the family unit better. I can, my better coming along with your better is going to make it even better. We grow together as a family. It's not about pride. See, pride is the enemy of this. Because if I shut down, I'm not hearing what God is speaking. I need to be open. Because, you know, not everything is 100% right. But what you do is you bury the pride to receive from God and hear so you can separate what God's voice from anything else. So that's the enemy. So with that said, why do we need to be comfortable and get to that place where we can share and be honest with each other and not be afraid of hurting other people in this thing? Well, number one, it's biblical. It's a biblical principle. Honesty is biblical. Jesus doesn't say, be honest except when you need to tell a white lie. Be honest except when it comes to hurting others. Now, there's tact. Okay, let's apply some tact here. And love. Remember, fruit of the Holy Spirit go hand in hand with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of the big components of the fruit is love. When I confront you, I need to do it in love. Absolute love. My honesty is in love. One, love for God. Two, love for you. Because I can only love you if I love him first. Okay? So it's got to come from him, his love. John 8:32 says, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Remember, truth is in your face. Now you deal with it. Now you can heal it. Now you can overcome it. I tell people in counseling all the time, as long as whatever issue you're dealing with stays in here and stays in here, you can pretend it doesn't exist. You can repress it. You can act like it doesn't need to be dealt with. You can try to ignore it. All these things. But you'll never heal the wound till it's out here, till you speak it out and put it on that table to deal with it. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We need to confront the truth, with love, pure love, in order to do that. Galatians 6:1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you are spiritual, should restore him. Notice what it says. Restore him. Not bite his head off. Not beat him down till they feel like a piece of garbage. Not destroy them, but restore them in the spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you be tempted too. So again, it's that love. It's being honest and firm, but love with tact. I had to learn that with my wife, and one of the things that's helped me is the fact that I know she loves me. If I'm better, I'm better for her. So she's in a way serving the interest of her own family by helping me to be better, and vice versa. So now the things that she confronts me with, I don't take them as criticism. I take them to the Lord and receive them. And I've come to realize as a warning sign, if I ever start feeling like this or I'm getting angry, that's not from God. That means a nerve has been hit. That some demon in me doesn't want to be dealt with. Some spirit oppressing me doesn't want to have revealed for me to confess it, repent of it, move on. That's simple. Confess it, repent it, receive His grace, move on. So, in love, we do this. Luke 16:10, he who is faithful in a very little thing is also faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. See, the whole principle of if you're found faithful in something little, you can be trusted in something more applies here too, because it's a biblical principle. Because if I am faithful in the little things I do for God, He can trust me to be faithful in the other things. I can trust you. If you are faithful in being honest with me about little things, you've got now my confidence that I can trust you in being faithful in big things. If I know you've got my back and that the things you speak into my life is to build me in the little things, I also am going to know when the bigger things that are there that needs to be confronted, you got my back too. I can trust you to be faithful in that. Again, it's saturated in the love of God, in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So it's biblical. Second thing is, I'm accountable to the truth. If Christ lives in me, He needs to flow through me. If He lives in me, His Spirit is alive in me, He needs to flow through me. And if I know there's something wrong that is happening in my own household that needs to be dealt with, or in my church that needs to be dealt with, and I don't, what I'm doing is I'm quenching the Spirit of God within me. I'm questioning, and what I'm doing is putting this fear or pride and self-preservation over faith, and I'm putting that on the throne of my heart instead of Christ and His Spirit. So His Spirit is no longer flowing through me. John 14:15 says this, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So if I love you, Jesus, I'm going to keep your commandments. I'm going to keep your rule, your principles. I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to be true to your heart, to your word. I'm going to love, 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 whether I disagree or agree. I'm going to love, 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 even when I have to say something harsh. But I do it in love. Because number one, God speaks to me in love when He confronts me. He's going to flow out of me. I just want to show you real quick, Ezekiel 33:1-9. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land, take a man from their territory and make him their watchman. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. But he heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning, his blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. See, there's accountability here. If you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that the wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. See, think about that. Everyone has a choice. I have a choice to be obedient to God in the things I share and the things I do. And if I share something with you, you have a choice to receive or not. Here, he's telling Ezekiel, listen, danger's coming. And I need you to tell the people danger's coming. You're responsible for that. Ezekiel then is responsible to do that. Now, if the people don't heed the warning, that's on them. But Ezekiel's conscience is clear before the Lord. He was obedient to God. But if Ezekiel says, well, I don't want to hurt them, they'll be upset at me. They might throw me out of the town. I might not be invited to the next family barbecue. And then the Lord's judgment or wrath comes. It's not only are they suffering and not given the opportunity to turn from their ways, but Ezekiel is accountable for not speaking out and not sharing. And see, this is something where the Lord really has been hitting me and working on me, and I thank him for his grace. Because there have been so many times, especially with those in leadership in this church, in the past, where I never confronted certain things that needed to be confronted. What I did is I sugarcoated it, or I was tactful, tried to be tactful, skirting around the issue, hoping they would just get it. And you know what? It was only by God's grace things worked out, because he covered my rear end, because I did not do it right. I was not obedient. I was not playing the role of shepherd, protecting, loving God's sheep. Because I was uncomfortable. I was fearful. I didn't know my authority in him or my identity. I didn't know how to act like the Son of God and say, hey, so-and-so, this is wrong. I need you to stop this, or I'm going to have you step down, or you can't be doing this anymore. Out of love, and this is a challenge that I had, and only by God's grace, he covered my sin because I was not obedient and learned a lot from those times. But I am accountable to the truth, as we all are. And the beautiful thing is, our job is to be obedient. What happens beyond that, if we can get it in our hearts and minds, is between the person and God. Our job is not to worry about the person's feelings or emotions, but that we honor God with our actions, with our hearts. We are obedient to him. If we can ever get to that place, then we're in the right direction. We're in the right track. Again, it's all basked and coded in the love of God. The third thing is, this leads us into it, is the relationship with God always takes precedence. There is no relationship in my life that should be greater than my relationship with God. Not even with your spouse, not even with your children. God, my relationship with God has to take precedence. Galatians 2, 11 through 14a. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him, this is Paul writing, to his face, because he was to be blamed. Let me set the stage here. Before Paul started becoming who he was, the apostle we know him as, he spent like 19 years learning from the original apostles. 19 years before he ever took his first missionary journey, okay? So Peter, James, John, these guys were his teachers, his mentors. So here now he's saying, I'm confronting one of my mentors, my spiritual mentors. I told him to his face, I withstood him to his face, for before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision, the Jews. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite. Why? Because they followed Peter with him. So that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, he confronted them. So here's Peter. He'll eating with the Gentiles, but as soon as some Jews show up who are a little more conservative with the law and have not fully embraced the grace of God, he decides, well, I'm not eating with the Gentiles anymore out of fear. And Paul said, you hypocrite. He confronted him. Why? Because the relationship with God was more important. In order trying to save face with the Jews, he was losing witness with the Gentile. He was losing his witness. And he was not being honest in his relationship with God. So Paul stood up for that. Relationship with God has to be the most important. Why? Because Paul knew Peter had that dream of that sheep coming down with all kinds of animals you can eat with, giving him permission to minister to Gentiles. And it was Peter who went into a Gentile home, recorded as the first apostle, to actually go into Cornelius' home. So he was even doing this before Paul even started ministering to the Gentiles. Yet now, he was being a hypocrite. Relationship with God, what God's called you to do, is precedent. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born in adversity. See, building a strong bond of trust and honesty and truth is in Christ. It happens in Christ. And when you go through difficult times with somebody you call a friend, you actually grow in your relationship. Why? Because, again, you learn to trust them. If I trust you to love me through the difficult time and be honest with me, you are more than a friend. You're a brother now. You're my brother because I know you have my back. And you will be honest in a loving way. Brother walks with you in adversity and shares with you in truth and honesty. Or a sister. Matthew 18:15-17. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be like the heathen and the tax collector. This should sound very familiar to most of us, right? This is our church policy in confrontation or having issues with somebody in the church. This is our policy. The Word of God is our policy. If somebody's wronged you, you go to them first and just talk to them. Or if you have an issue with somebody, you go to them and you talk to them in love. And if that doesn't work, then you take someone with you, whether it's a pastor, an elder, or a friend in the church, you go. If that doesn't work, then you bring it before the church. And if they still won't hear it, then you just cast them out at this point, because of the dissension it might be causing. This is our church policy. And how is it applied simply? We used to get phone calls about, well, you know, this Sunday school teacher or this person said this to my child, and I didn't like it. Well, okay, have you talked to them? No, but we wanted you to know. Thank you for telling us. We'll pray with you. But you need to go first to them and talk to them about it. And then if you can't get it resolved in love, then, you know, we can talk about us coming alongside you to help you out in this matter, to go before you in love. But we're not here to run interference for you. Why? Because a friend loves always, but a brother is born out of adversity. Just the fact that you're able to discuss in love and come together in agreement in a difficult place, in a difficult situation, will strengthen your relationship. God's relationship takes precedence over everything. The way God wants things done takes precedence over everything. Because His way is always the right way. The Bible, His Word, His heart in His Word, revealed in His Word, shows us exactly how to deal with everything that we have to deal with, at least in principle, and how to approach people and how to go before people. You pray about it, and you see God's heart in it first. You pray for the other person. You go in His love, and you do it in the spirit of love. And you realize that their response is not based, is not your responsibility. Their response will reveal their relationship with God if you do it your way. So if they come back bitter and angry, that's not your problem. That shows a flaw or deficiency in their relationship with God. Because if their relationship with God is pure and right, you know what they would do? Same thing I've learned to do, whether it's with my wife or anyone in this church, even though it might be hard to hear, I will receive it. I will listen to it carefully. I will be thankful. And I will even, and I've even said, I don't know if I fully agree with that, but I'm going to take it to the Lord in prayer. And I will go to God in prayer. If they don't respond that way, that's not your problem. That reveals their heart's deficiency in their relationship with God, not yours, because you were obedient to God. And the last thing, not confronting sin causes more harm. Not confronting a wrong causes more harm than good. Sin grows in the dark. Only when it's called out, it can be confronted. Wrong can only be recognized when it's confronted. Being afraid to hurt others can lead to actually hurting God. Because what's happening is, as much as God wants to work in my life, not confronting it hinders His work in my life, which hurts His heart. But it also, not having the person recognize the issue, hinders the work of God in their life. And that hurts God. Because there's a lack of obedience on my part and trust, and the door that is closed is never recognized as a closed door in the other person's life. That needs to be seen. Proverbs 28:13 says this, "He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them, sins, will have mercy." Will have mercy. This is not an easy thing to do to many of us. Some who are naturally just very, you know, my wife is, she'll tell it like it is. That's the way she's built. And there are other people that are built that way. Not saying it's easy for her or those other people, but that's just the way they're built. Some of us are not built that way, where we have to trust that much more. So I have to look at it as an opportunity for God to grow an area of my life that needs to grow. It's an opportunity to grow is what it is, to trust His work. Because with every successful time that I am able to do this, my faith increases. My recognition of authority of who I am in Christ and my identity in Him becomes clearer to me. The door of His Spirit is opened even greater for Him to keep putting His Spirit in and through me. He found me faithful in the little so He can trust me with the more. The blessings are unending in this. And it's not easy. Whether you're a pastor or a friend, whether you're in leadership or leading your household, it's not easy, especially when your kids start to get older or you have to confront a spouse who has a strong personality. It's not easy. But the revelation that will come through is your obedience and maybe their deficiency. So you know now how to pray. Why? Because that's a scheme of the enemy trying to tear your family, your church family, or your family apart with that element of pride based in that fear. This is a very powerful thing here. The key to this is love, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, gentleness, kindness, meekness, love. There is nothing in the fruit of the Holy Spirit that says doormat. Okay? Just because you're being gentle and meek and patient and loving and showing mercy does not mean you are a doormat. Just the sheer fact that by confronting in that love takes the doormat idea out of the picture. Meekness is not being weak. It's operating in the love of God, but being firm in the truths of God. So I pray that you are being encouraged as God is encouraging me to grow in this area today and continue to let Him work and trust Him in this. Because this will take us where we need to go. This is new ground the Holy Spirit wants to break in our lives today. This is what He wants to do. Would you stand with me right now? Yeah, Father, just go to that place in your heart. Focus on what we're...